Please turn to the book of Acts once again, chapter 4 and verse 24. Acts 4 and verse 24. And when they heard that, the report of Peter and John, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Last week, we looked at this prayer meeting in Jerusalem, and we saw that it was a specimen of how the early church prayed together. Remember, this was more than a regular weekly prayer meeting, as we would call it. This had been convened because of a dire emergency. In verse 29, it comes out in something they say, Lord, behold their threatenings. And of course they are referring to the way that Peter and John had been treated by the council of the Jewish authorities a little while before, and how they had been threatened that if they dare speak any more in the name of Jesus, then they would be in trouble. And it was no empty threat. We are not told exactly what the threat was. Verse 17, just back in the chapter, where these Jewish authorities confer among themselves and they say, but that this thing spread no further among them, that let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. But of course, it was no empty threat. Only about 2 months earlier, the Jews had showed what they could do in the way that they had stirred up others and got the Roman governor Pilate to have our Lord himself crucified. The power that these Jewish authorities could wield. And about 30 years later, the Roman authorities, the Emperor Nero, by then would be putting to death thousands of Christians, thousands of God's dear people, the Jews egging him on. This was no empty threat, and it's not certain exactly what would happen next at this point. What would be done if the gospel continued to be proclaimed, if more miracles were wrought in the name of Jesus, and if the living, risen, glorified Christ were continued to be preached to all. And so, Lord, behold their threatenings. It was something that was very real, and it might well have meant the threat of death to these apostles and to these Christians. And so they come together for prayer. Reminds us, doesn't it, that there is a place for extra times of prayer beyond the stated regular gatherings. Here are exceptional, extraordinary circumstances. And times of special need mean times of special prayer. And as I reminded you some weeks back, when the church is in some difficulty or there is some emergency, the instinct and the first thing to do is not the church members meeting. It's the prayer meeting to seek God's face, and in his light, we're likely to see light. And here they are at prayer. They're not here to discuss the threats of these powerful Jewish authorities and all the repercussions that might come about. They're together to pray. Well, now, last week, we concluded with God responding to their prayers, verse 31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. God was pleased, in response to the prayers, to touch the building some way and to make it physically shake, whether it took the form of an earthquake or something like that, we don't know, but there was a physical trembling and shuddering, and it could only be explained by the presence and power of God. Now notice that it comes really as a sign from heaven. A sign from heaven before the answer to the prayer is given. You see, what they have actually asked for is this, verse 29, that with all boldness they may speak the word. And when they prayed, the place was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So God answered the prayer in giving them the boldness to carry on with the work, in spite of all. But before the answer came, there was this signal, this sign, the shaking of the place. God gave the sign before he gave the answer to their prayer. Now, this is interesting. And it seems to be a principle in God's word that sometimes he does work like this. That is, that God shows his intention to answer our prayer by some good omen given first. That before the actual request is granted, there is some sweet thing that comes from God. In this case, you see, it was awe-inspiring, suited, of course, to the need. Because here were the Jewish powers raged against the infant church, and God's infinite power displayed a little by this tremendous shaking. But it can be different. God can give us a token in some other way. But it can be the prelude to the actual answer to our prayer, and we're to look out for it. Because it might be the thing that is saying something to us. It's often found in the experience of godly people that some good thing is granted first to raise our expectation and look for the answer, and it serves as a comfort and a help to us meanwhile. So look out for these things. Let's explore this a little. This is one instance, one illustration of it, but there are others. Let's look at some examples. And do these ring true in your experience? They might well in your experience to come. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 1 and verse 17 and 18 as another example. Here is a woman, Hannah, of a sorrowful spirit. And she comes up to God's house, absolutely bursting with grief. And she pours out her heart to the Lord. And notice what happens next, verse 17. Eli, the high priest, answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And then we read next verse, "She went her way, and her countenance was no more sad." Now that was something that was given to her before the gift of Samuel, the baby boy, was born. And what a powerful blessing it was. She is graciously dismissed with a benediction. And she goes away from her place of prayer. Her countenance was no more sad. It could be seen on her face that she was initially blessed and that she was looking for something further and was quite sure that something would be given to her that would be by way of answer to her prayer. And of course, we only have to go down to verse 19. The Lord remembered her. Verse 20, Hannah conceived and bare a son and called his name Samuel. Now, doesn't this remind us of those verses in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7? Be careful for nothing, everything, by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Here is our Eli, a greater than Eli, who never makes any mistakes, our Lord Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. We unload it all to him, whatever the matter is, and he can say, as it were, "Go in peace. The Lord grant thee thy petition." And that blessing of peace he can bestow. And it makes all the difference for now. The peace of God, passing all understanding, keeps the heart and mind through Christ Jesus. We haven't got the answer to the thing yet. We've got the peace. Instead of the worry, the upset, the anguish. You see, it's like this. When they prayed, the place was shaken. And then they were granted the answer. They spoke the word of God with boldness. That initial token, sign, blessing that the Lord had heard and that they were helped. For now, my dear friend, when you come to God in prayer and you tell him all, don't expect that it will be nothing until the answer is given, or whatever answer is given. Expect that there'll be something given you then, right there and then, that will do for you as a sign, as a sweet blessing for the moment. There's another example in Hannah. Let's look at a further one in Psalm 34, verses 4 and 6. Psalm 34, verses 4 and 6. Here is David, and he's giving partly his testimony over the way he was delivered from Abimelech when he went over to that Philistine leader in an act of unbelief, disobedience, and he was trapped, but the Lord delivered him. Look, Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me. Not out of the situation, but delivered me from all my fears. That was the first thing. And then verse 6, This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The actual answer then came, and he escaped from Abimelech and from the Philistine danger there. See the point? The same thing again. That initial gift, that preliminary blessing, which, as it were, encourages us to look for the actual answer. We sometimes say, don't we, well, you know, I prayed about a thing and nothing's happened. I wonder if you've looked. I wonder if you've thought about it. And I wonder if you discern just what the Lord intending you to have straight away. Not the actual answer yet, but something good for now. David was delivered from all his fears until he was delivered from all his troubles. And that's worth having. The one is worth having until the actual answer comes. Well, let's look at another example. Again in the Psalms, Psalm 86, verse 17. This might well be a reference to this kind of thing. Again, the prayer of David. Psalm 86, verse 17. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. It's the token. The token. He's not looking for signs and looking for indicators and this, that and the other, but some sign from God, some initial thing from God, that he's heard the prayer and that it will help him for now and comfort him for now. Because David says, my enemies are looking on, and they're seeing me in my straits and in my need. And some of them are saying, where is his God? Oh, show me a token for good. It's this initial thing. In the case of this church in Jerusalem, it was the shaking of the building. But in individuals' cases, it can be personal blessing of some kind that even the enemies of God can see has made all the difference. With Hannah, it was that initial benediction of blessing that put a smile on her face. In the case of Philippians 4, it's when we've prayed, the peace of God keeps our heart and mind and steadies us and makes us poised and able to cope. Show me a token for good, that my enemies might be ashamed. And in so doing, Lord, you will have helped me and comforted me. It's possible, you see, to be so much on the lookout for the actual answer itself that you miss what God has already given and what he might be saying to you and working in you. And if you detect any difference that your prayer has made, don't despise it. It's that initial thing that can often come first, before the answer arrives in due time. Here's another one in Philippians 1 and verse 4, where Paul prays for the people at Philippi, praying for the saints there. We all know how hard it is, dear friends, to pray for others, don't we? How hard it is to pray for a number of others who are laid upon our hearts. Paul had the care of all the churches. He was burdened with the needs of all the members of those churches that he knew at any rate. Philippians 1 verse 4, he thanks God for every remembrance of the Philippians, and he says, always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making request. But then he goes on to say, with joy. Now we know how hard it is to pray for others. And we would say that we make requests, perhaps with difficulty. Because prayer is difficult enough, but praying for others, because we're such selfish creatures, is harder still. The very fact that Paul felt himself able to make requests with a joy was like Paul saying, this is a token from God. And part of my joy is this, that it's going to mean that he will answer my prayers. And it's my portion and my cup of happiness for now. The very fact that I'm led out in prayer for you, Philippians, and the very fact that I'm given a joy in asking these things for you is my blessing for now and my assurance that God is going to answer my prayers and he's going to bless you in answer to my remembrance of you. This making requests with joy. Do you find sometimes when you've got something laid upon your heart that you're praying about, maybe something about yourself, the family, fellow Christians, the church, the cause of God, and you find yourself unusually helped in prayer, and you remember it, you look back on it, and it's most remarkable. The day before, maybe, you were praying for that very same thing, and oh, how sluggish you felt, how hard it was to frame your words and make your requests to God. You felt that you hadn't really got through. But this time, you find you're making the same request with joy. The Lord seems to have drawn near. And the Holy Ghost seems to have drawn you out to him. And you see yourself coming to God through the mediator and the smiling face of God. And you're given liberty. And you ask for big things. What's this? Well, this is surely a token for good. An evidence that can give you hope. Something's going to happen because you've prayed. You've been able to pray like this, making requests with joy. I remember a dear minister friend of ours a few years back saying to us, he said, I remember you at Hollywell, you and your family and friends at Hollywell, he said, in my prayers. And he said, there's no burden to do it. I love to do it. I'm helped as I do it. Now, that they weren't empty words. And looking back now, isn't this something of what Paul means here, making requests with joy? And if that's true, then that dear godly minister friend, in his prayers, if he was being helped like that, that's a good token and an encouraging sign. I thank God for that. May he always feel like that. And may we, in turn, feel like that when we pray for others. This initial help and blessing as we're praying, corresponding with the place shaking before the answer is given to the praying people at Jerusalem. It's not in the form necessarily of this great earthquake. It can be the still, small voice. It can be a blessing in any form, speaking to us and telling us that the answer might well be on its way. Let me illustrate it in another way. I remember reading in the life of Hudson Taylor how that he started work in his father's chemist shop in Yorkshire, and he did quite well there, but he came to the age of 17 and he was still unconverted. His sister Amelia was praying for him, as were his parents, of course. One day, he had the day off from work. Mother was away visiting relatives. And he was alone. I think father was engaged in business in some way. And Hudson was all on his own. And he had nothing to do. And he wandered into father's study and rummaged around in the books. Then he came to a little basket of tracts and leaflets and pulled out one that was entitled The Finished Work of Christ. And he went into the hayloft and lay down in the hay and made himself comfortable and started idly reading this tract. He wasn't a believer, and he wasn't exercised or troubled about things. It was for lack of anything better to do. And as he read the tract, he suddenly became gripped by the words he was reading. That Jesus cried on the cross, "It is finished." And light came. And he saw for the first time that if our Lord has done all for his people, there's nothing left for Hudson to do but to get down on his knees and surrender himself to Christ and believe on him and be saved. And he was. He told Amelia, his sister, but said, "Don't tell Mother. I want to tell her myself when she comes back. Tell her the joyful news." When Mother arrived back, she was met by Hudson, who almost knocked her over in his joy. He said, "Mother, Mother, I've been saved." And Mother said, "Yes, Hudson, I know." "How did you know?" he said, "has Amelia told you?" And she said, "No, I knew." A little while ago, she specified the time, "While I was away, I was alone in the house, and I felt this urge to get down on my knees and pray for you. And I prayed for your conversion. And I felt that the Lord had told me that the prayer had been answered and you were saved. And that's how I know that you've been converted." And the day that she prayed and the day he was converted were exactly the same in the dealings of God. And again, this sensuousness of Mother Taylor having been almost told by God that the prayer is heard, this assurance given, was the prelude to discovering that the prayer indeed had been answered. Now, God can work like this. And we should take it into account, dear friends. Do not see prayer in terms of the time you make your request and that gap, however long, and nothing is happening supposedly, and then when the answer comes, in whatever form it comes. No, no, in that gap, there can be this token. There can be this initial blessing, this sign, this thing that helps us. Here it is in the case of these examples. Well now, let me conclude by saying this. Why does God sometimes work like this? Why is it that God is pleased to deal with us in this way? Well, one reason is this. To assure us that our prayer is heard. In the Bible, there seems to be a difference between prayer heard and prayer answered. The two terms sometimes seem synonymous, meaning the same, but there are times when it seems as if they are different. And if that's the case, then it means that, you see, when you pray, your prayer is heard before it's actually answered. And because it's heard, it's as if God says to you, "I've registered it in heaven. This token is for your comfort and your assurance." It's like when you send an order for something and you filled out your form and you've sent the order and you wait and you get a letter back from the firm. And it's a letter of acknowledgement saying, "Thank you for your order. We've received it. It's being processed." Oh, that's all right. And they know. It's a comfort. And God, if I may put it very reverently, in his mercy and in his kindness, does this for us. This sweet acknowledgement that we are heard on high, even if not answered at the moment. And it's to teach us that we do not pray in vain, but each prayer reaches the throne. He's the God that hearest prayer. Psalm 65, verse 2. So it's to assure us that our prayer is heard. And also to give us immediate relief and help. You see, some things we pray about, we're desperate over. There are particular things that we're driven to God about. We are at our wits' end, but not at our faith's end, thank God. But we have only one resort, one place to go to, one refuge, one ear who can listen to us over this particular thing. We cry to God. We cry to God. It might well be that in God's dealings, He, in His wisdom, won't grant us the answer immediately. But He won't leave us with nothing. He will give us something to sustain us meanwhile, and to keep up hope, and to hold us up. It's almost like a promise that we're holding on to from then on, a token for good. And we do not forget what God has done, what God has blessed us with. That sweet something that encourages us to believe that the prayer will be answered in due season. Immediate relief and help. And that's a very precious thing. Like Hannah, Samuel wasn't born immediately. But my, she was a different woman. And she could live in the grace of that benediction until the answer came. And dear friends, the final reason why God may do this is because sometimes this token that we're talking about can turn out to be itself the answer to our prayer, unexpectedly. It might not be God's will to grant us our actual request, but this will serve for an answer instead. Let's go back to Acts 4, and what if God had done no more than shake that room in response to their prayer? Well, that would have been answer enough in itself. For there was a powerful demonstration of God's arm, His might. God, who can shake the nations and shake terribly the earth, He can shake those high priests and that whole Sanhedrin to bits before these servants of His. They've nothing to fear. They could go in the strength of that power and blessing. It was pleased to actually fill them with the Holy Ghost and give them the boldness they asked. But if He'd done nothing more, this initial token would have been enough. And sometimes it is that what we come away with in prayer and what so blesses and helps, it ends up being that very thing. The very way that God answers our prayer. He may not take away the pain, but He gives such grace to bear it, so that the grace is more evident than the pain. He might not take away that thing that's breaking our hearts, but He Himself will bind up our hearts and so effectually comfort us, the same comfort we felt when we made that prayer. And that turns out to be His answer when we live in the strength. Here at Jerusalem, the house was shaken, that they might not be shaken. That would have been enough. Sometimes it's enough to have that initial token. But dear friends, either way, the Lord is good in what He does with our prayers. In this, as with everything else, He hath done all things well. May we find it to be so, dear friends. May we prove it individually and corporately, for His name's sake.